Holly, Holly, Holly. This is the Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 9th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. When the days drew near for Jesus to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. And he sent messengers ahead of him. On their way, they entered a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. But they did not receive him because his face was set toward Jerusalem. So when his disciples, James and John saw this, they said, "Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them?" But Jesus turned and rebuked them. Then they went on to another village. As they were going along the road, someone said to Jesus, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." To another he said, "Follow me." But the other said, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." But Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home." And Jesus said to him, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. And grace and peace to you from the one true God who creates, redeems, and sustains us this morning. Amen. There's another mic still on. Is that mic on? I'm just getting feedback a little bit. Thank you. In our gospel text this morning, we find Jesus with his face set on Jerusalem. And what awaits him in Jerusalem? His trial, his crucifixion, and death. And perhaps it is this knowledge of his fate, this determination that gives Jesus' words in our passage this morning such a tone of urgency, perhaps. But maybe that isn't all. Maybe when Jesus replies to the reasonable reasons that these would-be followers of his give for not jumping into his stride, not catching pace with him, maybe it is because there is an urgency to following Jesus. Maybe there is an urgency to the work he is about, the work he is calling us to. As I have been studying this text over the last several days, as we have discussed it in our staff meeting and in Bible study, there has been a quote, a rather well-known quote, that has been ringing in my ears for the past week. But before I share that quote with you, I want to tell you a little story about the person who said it. This is a story about a woman named Mary. Mary Harris Jones. Mary Harris Jones emigrated from Ireland as a small child during the Great Famine, coming first into Canada and then down into the United States. As an Irish immigrant, as a Roman Catholic, Mary and her family were victims of discrimination and abuse. Eventually, she became a teacher in Michigan. She got bored with the teaching and decided to move on. She met and married George Jones, a union iron molder. But then, in a great yellow fever epidemic that swept through Memphis, Tennessee, she lost her husband, George, and all four of her children under the age of five. She picked up her life and moved to Chicago, Illinois, and started a dressmaking business. providing work, fabulous dresses for the hoi polloi, the high society ladies of Chicago. But then the great Chicago fire hit, and she lost her store. And in the midst of rebuilding the city of Chicago, she began to find work and a common cause with the labor movement. Specifically, she started working eventually with the United Mine Workers as an organizer and agitator. She became known as the miner's friend or the miner's angel. She famously led a 125-mile march of children, mill, and mine workers from Philadelphia to the New York summer home of President Theodore Roosevelt, advocating for the proper enforcement of child labor laws. Once in Ludlow, Colorado, at a miners' strike where the governor had promised not to send in the militia to break the mine, the strikers, she was in a union hall and heard news had gotten back that the governor had gone back on his promise and sent the militia in. She leapt to her feet and shouted, "Let's go get 'em!" and ran out, never checking to see if anyone was following her. No one was following her. She confronted the militia on her own. And it was at this time that the United States attorney called her the most dangerous woman in America. She was 83 years old. Mother Jones. I tell this story not to champion the union cause, not to highlight or encourage her particular brand of politics, but to note that here is an example of someone who, in the twilight years of her life, saw fit to champion the cause of others, namely workers, children, women, to seek to better the lives of those who were on the margins of the society at her time. Mother Jones, the most dangerous woman in America at 83 years old. Imagine that. Throughout the Gospel of Luke, there is a recurring theme, an anthem, you might call it. It begins with the song of another Mary. We know this Mary. Her song in Luke 1, the Magnificat, her song to her cousin Elizabeth, who at the revelation of her own pregnancy, the baby inside Elizabeth's womb leapt for joy. John the Baptist, in utero, leaping at the sound of Mary's voice. And Mary says this, sings this in response, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowly state of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. Indeed, his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has come to the aid of his child Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever." This song begins the theme that runs all throughout the Luke's gospel, the theme known as the Great Reversal, a theme present as much in the Hebrew Bible as it is in our gospel this morning. And this theme identifies our God as one who stands with the suffering, who lifts up the poor, and who calls us to do the same. Jesus' message of urgency to these would-be followers, Jesus' response to these would-be followers, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. These are hard, challenging words for us to hear. Burying the dead is surely a good excuse. Saying goodbye to those you leave behind surely is a good excuse. But as one of my professors in seminary said, quoting his tennis coach, "All the excuses are good excuses, but that doesn't make them acceptable." These words Jesus offers remind us that the call to follow Christ is urgent. The needs of those around us are immediate. You see, these harsh reminders, these comments on the urgency of God's mission come right after he has reminded them that the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head and rest. We read elsewhere in the Gospels Jesus reminding us that when he was poor, you helped me. When I was naked, you clothed me. When I was hungry, you fed me. These needs are immediate. For the person who is hungry, the need for food is immediate. For the child living on the street, the need for safe housing is immediate. For the woman in mourning, the need for comfort is immediate. For the man whose heart is heavy with feelings of shame and of guilt, the need for God's grace and mercy is immediate. Jesus calls us, bids us to follow him, and encourages us to join in the effort to bring loving kindness to all people, especially to those who are in the most immediate need. So what about that quote, Pastor Pear, you're wondering? Why did you begin this sermon with the story of the most dangerous woman in America, a labor organizer and agitator who died almost 100 years ago? Well, because here is this quote. Here is what she said. Much like Jesus' reminder to let the dead bury their own, Mother Jones is known for saying this: "Pray for the dead, but fight like hell for the living." These words, echoing the words we hear from Jesus this morning, were her words to live by. And these are ours to live by, too. Jesus' call is urgent, and the work lies ahead of us. We have been set free by what happened to him in Jerusalem so long ago. And we have been set free by the work of those who fought for a better life for all. Our history is important for us to remember. Our lives are better because of it. But if we set our hands to the plow, it is important that we remember to look ahead. The work lies in front of us. It is standing in the road we walk down. Those in our world are before us, crying out in need, and their needs are immediate. So, let us pray for the dead, but let us also fight like hell for the living, because they need us now more than ever before. Amen.